cliffcentral.com. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Grant, I need to make a critical business decision. We've been expanding rapidly, and my gut feel tells me that we should be investing for growth. But I need to put some financial science behind that gut feel of mine.
Don't you have a financial manager or director that can help you with that?
But isn't that rather expensive?
It doesn't have to be. Why don't you contact the finance team? They're a consultancy that can provide you with a part-time financial manager or director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time resource.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
This technology and leadership feature is brought to you by Cell C Business. Get the best in-building coverage with Wi-Fi calling only with Cell C. The power is in your hands.
We know that technology is always improving. That's why at Cell C, we brought you 2G, then 3G and LTE, and our super-fast LTE Advanced network. And now we're connecting homes to our lightning-speed C-fiber network. Plus, we remain the only cellular network to offer Wi-Fi calling, which widens your local in-building coverage and eliminates international roaming fees. So if you want speed, connectivity, and innovation, what are you waiting for? Visit cellc.co.za for more information. Cell C, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. The first half hour is our business skills conversation in association with USB Ed. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team. Last week, we chatted with IMI Mobile Regional Manager David Alexander about the question of IT strategy for the growing business, the issues to consider. Great show. Download that podcast. Today's theme, we are joined by Dr. Sean Cunningham in the studio. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you very much.
About the big picture of technology and the fact that technology is not just about physical things, it's also about how we organize people, things, and knowledge around that. So, looking forward to that conversation. Now, just a bit of background for those who don't know Dr. Sean Cunningham. He is a change consultant working across multiple fields of competitiveness, improvements within economies, industries, and companies. In the average year, he works across the world in between 12 to 15-odd countries, so a rather busy gentleman, if I may say so. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today. So we say technology is not just about physical stuff, but it's also about how we organize people and how we use knowledge around that. So it's been said that this iPhone that I got in my hand probably has more computing power than all the computers put together that we used to put the first man on the moon. So the stock in technology and its availability to us in the world today has really increased over the years. That's quite clear. But I guess then the question becomes one of, so how does an enterprise actually best figure out how to use and evaluate all this new stuff that's available to us at the click of a button, push of a finger? I mean, where do people even start when it comes to this? It's called a changing world of technology, Sean.
I always like to think that there's four functions that you need to fulfill if you're a manager of innovation. And the first one is to scan and to search for new ideas. So this is a constant search where you have to look at new ideas, who's doing new things, who's doing different things. You would recall that in our previous conversation, I said that innovation is really about combination and recombination of ideas, old ideas, and filling in the gaps. So This scanning process is something that you need to initiate as a leader, and you have to probably mobilize your team.
I was going to say, I mean, I listened to that construct, and I think to an announcement I saw made over the weekend by the Tesla team about the solar tile that they're launching. And I listened to this and I thought, well, that's not new. That's been around. Mm. In fact, I've seen some novel stuff done here in the South African context in that exact space. So they're bringing something to the party using technology that isn't absolutely brand new. But you have to ask yourself, so why is it such a big thing? Is it just because Elon Musk got up and talked about it, that it's now the rage or it's the thing? Or is it just a case of they know how to use technology really effectively and efficiently to deliver and execute on the concept?
So I think that maybe we must go back to the opening statement you made about what is technology.
Mm.
Because I think that...
Well, isn't technology just the bits and bytes?
The bits and the bytes. It's more than the bits and the bytes. Mm.
So that's important because people just think of it in that terminology.
Yes. So if we start off by thinking of technology as knowing what to do and how to do it. So if you start with a definition around technology that's as vague as that, mm-hmm. and you then expand it to say... A technology is about how we organize things, with an emphasis on things, mm-hmm. how we know how to use things. So your fancy phone in your hand is mm-hmm. only useful if you actually know how to organize it into your life mm-hmm. and how to reorganize your life around this new capability.
Mm-hmm.
So technology is all about the physical thing, the knowledge of how to use it, how to optimally use it maybe, and then how to organize yourself around this. But then there's a second part to that definition, and that is this technology could either be about a product or about the process.
Mm-hmm.
So about the solar tile maybe. Maybe he's presenting this as a new product, a new mm-hmm. technology that will allow you to store energy in a new way. But probably his innovation is not so much in the product, but maybe it's in the background, in those processes behind the scenes to make this technology more affordable, to make it easier for you to compare options. You know, there's a whole bunch of technology improvements behind the scene. Mm-hmm. So we look at the product and we think the product is innovation, but probably Elon Musk's innovations are very often behind the scenes in terms of taking things to scale, making technology more presentable. And maybe for anybody out there that's tried to choose between solar panels, inverters, and all of this, maybe it's also in the end about how this all gets presented in a way that normal people, like you and me.
The normal people.
Yes,
I love your definition.
That would probably not go and buy the panels at one shop and the inverters at the other, but people that probably want a packaged solution would be very intrigued by that. So the technology is about the product, but it's also about the process innovation that very often would be behind the scenes.
Hmm. Now, you talked, you said your first comment was, okay, so constantly scan. So we're looking around the whole time, looking at opportunities, looking for things to do, things to apply, let's call it our references to.
Hmm.
For me, sometimes I think scanning the environment might be almost overwhelming. I think sometimes in life we want to almost cut down on the amount of information we're pulling in, so that we have, let's call it, less, not more. I feel totally overwhelmed sometimes with just the amount of information that's out there. Everything's happening so quickly. There's so there's almost the risk of, you know, when I start scanning for options or scanning the environment, I'm going to almost overload the system. How do you deal with that little challenge?
Well, I must tell you that it's much easier to deal with too many options mm. than dealing with a situation where you don't have options. So I would say drowning in too many options is still the better choice. The second step of selecting technology is about figuring out what you need. What mm. are the gaps in your business? What are the gaps in your processes? What's the gap in your total offering,
mm-hmm.
and out of this to maybe, not in pen, but maybe in pencil, develop some or other picture of what you're looking for, so mm. that you can maybe also scan and search for things that take you towards what you need. I would say that just scanning for the sake of scanning would probably keep you away from doing other important things. So you have to...
Yeah, there's almost, let's call it focused scanning. I know that sounds a little bit
yes.
at odds with each other, I guess.
Yes, but I mentioned that it's very important that you mobilize your team and your partners and your collaborators around this, because your problem would be that you would maybe search too narrowly, and searching too narrowly is also quite dangerous. You might miss some really important developments in a related sector or in a related industry. So, you know, focused searching is great, but you need to keep your eyes open to see, what are competitors doing? What are people in a different industry doing? Are they maybe trying things out that that you could bring into your business or into your context. And only then do you get to the third point where, after you've selected, you have to either simulate how this technology would fit into your business, or you have to maybe at a very small scale integrate it into your business so that you can just see, does it fit? Does it stretch your existing systems? And the next step after that would be to then leverage this new capability into your business, which means, so now you've got a smartphone, now all your staff, all your leading experts out there all have a smartphone. Now, can we leverage this somehow to maybe improve coordination? You know, are there features of this technology that maybe they weren't so important when we assessed the technology, but now we have them? Can we maybe use them to create new capability in the business? So that the four things then is, the first thing is scanning. The second thing is about selecting, and it's it's an iterative process, so you need to go backwards and forwards. Your third step then is when you integrate this technology into your business, maybe start small, if you can.
No, so avoid the big bang.
Avoid the big bang where you invest a huge amount of money. This is not always possible, but avoid the big bang where you invest a huge amount of money and then suddenly you have a technology that you can't use. So, and then the fourth step then is to, now you have this technology, it's integrated, how do you leverage it? Are there features that you could use that give you unanticipated benefits? The third step is a step where I see a lot of businesses get stuck. I work quite often in the manufacturing sector, and people know what technologies are out there, and they've actually already made up their mind about what they really want, but they can't get to that third step. And this is where partnerships, for instance, with the universities of technology or a whole myriad of technology organizations that we have in South Africa, where these organizations can sometimes help you, because you could maybe go and look at a demonstration facility, or you could go and look at this technology in action, and it helps you to figure out how to best integrate this new...
Almost the whole concept of, let's call it proof of concept type of trial, trial and error. Okay. Now, I guess the reality is, as you go through this process, I mean, the reality for me is, okay, so how do you, I mean, no matter how good something is, and I mean, we all like, you know, the latest, greatest, whatever it may be, but I always ask the question, so what? So it comes to that fourth step about leveraging and getting that leverage to actually work in, let's call it, a financially sound and reasonable way and basis. Because, you know, if the business model can't be adapted to, let's call it, use the technology, well, then what? Or how do you then overcome that challenge that becomes the next step in the process, I guess. So it's almost like you have technology that you can use, but you can't price the outcomes from that technology, if you're with me. I mean, how do you overcome those sort of challenges? You know, you get this latest and greatest, and it's all great. It does something for you, and it looks great and feels great, and it seems to tick all the boxes, except you can't quite put the numbers onto that new addition to the... I mean, let's take a piece of technology that's common, and we'll talk about it a little later, the whole concept of 3D printing. Okay. How do you translate that capability into something that you can put into, let's call it, the financial model of your business and how it all hangs together? What's your experience been in that space?
So many of the new generation technologies, you cannot just take your old equipment out, level the surface, and then put new technology in. So quite a lot of the technology, like your example of a 3D printer, you're not going to take out a current mold-making capability and just replace it with a 3D printer. So, you know, you could probably follow your current technology trajectory, but at a certain point, you just don't get any more efficiency improvement around it. So when you start looking at new generation technology, and 3D printing is said to be new generation technology, but the technology itself is 20 or more years old. But still, when you integrate that into your business, it requires you to change your business model. You cannot just take that old mold-making facility, cut it out, and take a new technology and paste it in. If you do that, you miss a huge opportunity to rethink your business model. So when you do embrace a new technology, say it's rapid prototyping or fast development or any of those, you miss a huge opportunity if you do not also rethink some of the aspects of your business model. And those things are hard to quantify.
Yeah.
I'll take 3D printing, for instance, that you cannot compare the costs of this new technology with whatever you have in place now. Because this new technology brings with it completely new capability in terms of speed, in terms of turnaround. And for instance, to reduce your turnaround from, you know, 20 days to 10 days, how on earth do you cost? Oh, well, you're a finance man. You would know. But it's very hard for most business people to quantify that. And therefore,
put a number on it and say, hey, that's what it's worth to me.
Yes. And this is one of the challenges when you need to go and get a loan for new technology. It's so hard to explain to whomever your financier is how this new technology is going to affect your revenue streams when you have you have little clue about how this will affect your business.
Yeah, I was going to say there's almost the, let me call it the unforeseen. You don't know what the impact's going to be. I mean, did anybody really know the impact of 3D printing technology when it first emerged? I mean, how do you even, let's call it, draw the line from one to the other?
I don't even think that the current wave of companies that are making this, you know, range of technologies know the future impact of these technologies. So maybe we can talk a little bit just now in the SME interview about that, because we have a live case, you know, sitting ready to go on that. But one thing that I must say about technology, there's, you know, people talk about this first industrial revolution and the second industrial revolution and the third industrial revolution. And now we're apparently at the, you know, at the fourth industrial revolution.
The knowledge revolution, as they've termed it.
Well, the big thing that makes the third industrial revolution and the fourth industrial revolution different is in the first revolutions, we basically manipulated natural phenomena. You know, like the first radio technology was literally about something we could sense, we could feel, and you could take apart a radio from the 1940s and the 1950s. You could actually, by tracing it with your finger, you could more or less figure out or make some assumptions about what's going on there. And I mean, if you think of the first sail technology on a boat and a rudder, you know, this was directly related to natural phenomena. But what has changed in the last 30 or 40 years is that we are now using technology to develop technology. So we're using more software systems, simulation systems. We're using a completely new host of technologies to create different and improved technologies. And this is a very big jump in how you develop solutions in your business.
Starts to make me wonder about the sci-fi things when the machines start thinking for the machines. You know, where does this stop? But I mean, I think practically, I mean, I think back to, for example, computer programming and how that has changed over the years. I mean, I'll never forget back in the day, you know, you would watch these people coding simple programs and simple things to do very, very menial tasks. And you compare that today with the app designers and the web designers of today, where they literally just pick up a mouse, drag something, let go of it, and the code is generating behind it. And you look at this and you go, you know, isn't that technology generating technology in a way? So you're using the human mind to do the thought process, but you're using the technology to do the detail behind it.
Execution.
And the execution, which I think is... And yeah, you have to ask yourself the question, at what point does, you know, what are the, let's call it, those tasks that will be replaced over time? I mean, and it links with one of the other shows that we've had where we talked about, you know, the fact that children today are studying and learning for jobs that don't even exist yet. And that's quite a frightening thought in the world of technology. I mean, how do you, and I guess let's kind of play that back in the business context. How do you prepare for a technology that doesn't even exist yet as a business owner? I mean, that's a tough question, I know, but that's why I'm here, Sean. I ask those tough questions.
Yeah, I need to decide now, you know, how politically correct I want to be.
Don't be PC. Don't be PC on us.
Look, I think the challenge for most of our business people is not the latest, greatest technology. Mm. It's actually the stuff that's been around for a while, and it's actually been proven in other industries.
Mm.
So I think this is a much bigger, you know, for us also, we're a small market, relatively speaking. And we have a very small tech development segment in our economy compared to other countries, compared to, for instance, Germany or even Italy or the US. So we have to, as business leaders here, really tap into what's happening globally.
Mm.
And what has been proven globally. So you need to, if you're only going to look at your local competitors for your inspiration of what is possible, you could end up being caught offside. So I'm not so excited about the latest technology, because some of the better technologies have been around for a while, and they may be in their second or their third or their fourth iteration. You know, like 3D printing is now called additive manufacturing. It's no longer a gimmicky thing that is on a nerd's desk. It's actually something that comes in factory sized equipment, you know, using industrial power and special air conditioning. So 3D printing has grown up. A lot of new technologies have grown up. And when these technologies become a little bit more established, you typically find that you have more models to choose from. So you don't have to always invest with millions. You could now start testing things in smaller amounts. But one of the things that I definitely would recommend is, if you're a small business that's in a technology-intensive field, make sure that you visit every few years a technology exhibition in Europe or the US or maybe even China. Just get out there, and I can promise you the things that you would see there now were not developed in the last 5 years. They're 20 years old. And the things that will be there next time are now still being tested and refined. You know, so I think that we mustn't always focus at the technology edge, but we must definitely look at the technology that becomes relevant for our industry or for your particular business.
Now, the one thing that amazes me is, and I do visit some of the international trade shows and the likes, and I was recently had an opportunity to travel into China, and on the way out we stopped off in we were in Hong Kong, and I went into one of the Hong Kong science parks, and what amazed me was the amount of energy and input and focus on the world of creation that was in that technopark and innovation hub. But what I also noticed, to your point, was as I walked through there, and we were going to visit a particular person there, so, you know, just it was a cursory passing. But there was a lot of stuff there that I looked at and went, that's familiar. It wasn't all new things,
no,
per se.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, some of the stuff that we were looking at is not technology that's brand new, but it's technology that's being used, as you say, in a different way or being applied differently. So the capability has always been there, but now we're able to do just so much more with it. Now, I mean, give me some examples of environments that have successfully taken, let's call it, this technology focus and applied it practically on the ground. And I know we're going to talk a little later about somebody that we have in studio with us. But give me some examples that you've seen out there.
So over the last few years, I've often had the privilege of working with, say, a university's faculty of engineering, or with a specific academic department or with a technology center. And we do what is called a rapid industry diagnosis, you know, to try and find who are the outliers in terms of innovation and who are the fast followers and then who are the laggards. And one thing that struck me about South Africa is that there's a large number of foreign companies coming here, establishing small design offices here, small engineering teams here, because they find South African users to be particularly sophisticated or demanding. This is true for electronics. It's true for medicine.
Okay.
It's true for medical equipment. So there's a whole bunch of industries where We have really sophisticated or demanding clients.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say difficult clients. The business people would know what I'm talking about. So firstly, what I'm always struck by is how little we tap into this resource. And the demanding clients in South Africa go to poor families. It goes to smallholder farmers. I think now with our current water crisis in Gauteng, it's going to extend to small businesses that need water. So, you know, don't always think of the demanding clients as being in the defense sector or so. So, firstly, I think that in South Africa, we have a lot of sophisticated clients. With sophisticated, I don't mean high tech. I mean that they want to use this equipment in a rough environment. If you just think of where we put our power lines through and how large our water distribution system is, how distributed our sewage plants are in South Africa, you know, the total sewage management system, all of these you don't find in Europe, where towns are smaller, denser. You know, so firstly, we have a very interesting configuration in South Africa in terms of demanding clients. In terms of businesses that can tap into this, you often find that in the electronic sector, for instance, we've become really good with various kinds of configurations of secure radio systems, communication systems, often driven by the police, maybe defense, but also things about the distances between our cell phone towers and all kinds of issues that create an opportunity for entrepreneurs to move in. I mean, with pointing antennas being a great example of a homegrown company that has become a global player on something like antenna technology.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think of just simply the technology around things like commercial and residential alarm systems.
Yes.
And armed response and the connectivity between those two worlds. Everywhere else in the world, and I mean, you see it in countries like the United States, they rely on the infrastructure being telephone and the likes. And then you come to the South African context, and unfortunately the telephone lines run outside, not underground as they do in the States. And suddenly now we have to come up with a different solution. No problem. I mean, in the good old South African adage, Die Boer maak 'n plan, is really so apt, because the South Africans solved that one using radio data technologies and places like Radio Data Communications and some of the other radio producers very quickly were able to manufacture what was needed for the armed response industry in the form of data transmitters and repeaters and all those good stuff. And I often look at this and I think, well, you know, the mother of invention is the necessity and the requirement. And they used the technology that was available in the day and they got it right. So yeah, technology can often solve that insurmountable problem if we just apply our minds to it. Sean, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate your time in studio. We're going to get a little bit more practical shortly with our SME development conversation. However, first up, cliffcentral.com.